Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Come on, son.
Raphael on the track.
Come on, son. What up, y'all? Come on, son. It's time for Come On, Son, the podcast. Again, it's me, Ed Lover. How's everybody doing? I hope everybody's having a pleasant, wonderful day. And so far, your week is going well and your weekend is going good. I hope everything is good with you. Everything is good with me in Chicago, 104.3 Jams. You can go to radio.com and listen to the station. And you always know, I dedicate every podcast to Combat Jack, because without Combat Jack, I wouldn't even be podcasting. So big up to the memory of Combat Jack. And also big shout out to my title sponsor, CigarsInternational.com. Go to CigarsInternational.com for all your cigar needs, because that's the way you should be doing things if you're a cigar lover like I am. And, you know, you need stuff. We always need stuff. We need cases. We need, to carry your cigars. And a lot of people don't know that there's portable humidors. Now, there's the humidor that sits on your desk or in your basement or wherever in your trophy room, and it holds your smokes. But there's also the ones that you carry with you when you want to go out and you want to keep your cigars fresh and you don't want to put them in your pocket or anything like that. So all you have to do is go to CigarsInternational.com and look up portable humidors, and you can find one. And they also have the packets. There's a packet that you can throw in the box also to keep your cigars fresh. They have all of that. They have the fluid that you need to put in your portable humidor to keep your cigars fresh. So there's a lot of different ways and avenues and things that you can use to keep your cigars fresh. So just go to CigarsInternational.com and look up portable humidors. Get yourself a new lighter, fancy cutter. Use my code when you check out, ED10OFF. That's ED10OFF to get 10% off your entire purchase. And I hope y'all are actually using that code, because a lot of times we're given codes and we don't use them, you know, but it's worth it in the long run. You know, you'd be like, 10% off. But yeah, if you can rack up a bill and get 10% off, it's really, really, really good. It's like going shopping. You know, you ever been to Macy's and the lady goes, oh, I'll put in a promo code and you'll get 25% off? It makes a hell of a difference. So go CigarsInternational.com, ED10OFF. ED10OFF. I think today on this podcast, it's a lot of stuff that's been going on in my mind. And I think today I want to talk about how we treat ourselves. And I don't mean in the physical nature of how you treat yourself, or like what you eat or what you don't eat, what you do and what you don't do, and all of that other stuff. I mean in the sense that how, as a society, we treat ourselves, and how, as a people, we treat ourselves. Now, we go out, we march up and down the street. Anytime a cop, especially if it's a white cop, shoots an unarmed black man, and by all means, in every way, shape, or form, we should. Civil protest is what led to us as a nation especially African Americans in this nation, becoming, well, free to up until a certain point, right? If it wasn't for the marches of Dr. King and others, and Malcolm X and others that embarrassed the United States on an international scale, we wouldn't even have the basic human rights that we have now. We all know we can do well. We can do well up to a certain point. We do understand that there's a glass ceiling. We understand that what's going on in our country right now is about nothing more than the displacement of the white male in our society that feels like they should own everybody. I don't know if you're a fan of Come On Son, the podcast, and this doesn't apply to you. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about the majority of these conservative white males in this country. And there's a lot of them. And if it's not you, then this is not for you to feel offended by. But there are a lot of white males in this country that feel like they got displaced by the liberals and the Obama administration and the way that we want to take care of each other. And they want to go back to the conservative ways of controlling government and thereby controlling your fears and thereby controlling the money. Because that's what it's all about at the end of the day. It's the power and the money, ladies and gentlemen. So if that doesn't apply to you, then I'm not talking about you. But if it does apply and you get offended, then you're just offended, because this is my truth and I know it. So like I'm saying before, slavery was about money. Jim Crow was about money. It's never about race. The smarter people know it's not about race. They know it's about controlling the money. And if that can be a racist at the same time, then fine. But the majority of it is about controlling the money. But what I want to talk about today is a little more on me talking to my people. And when I say my people, I include the Latino community, the Dominicans, Puerto Ricans, the Mexicans, whatever kin you are, Caribbeans, people, all of us, right? That some of us were forced to be here, African Americans. Some of us came here for a better life. And we have to have an open discussion, which I'm willing to start at any time with anyone, about how we treat ourselves. And I'm not talking, you know, there's a lot of people talking about being a vegan or whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how we treat ourselves socially and how we treat ourselves and what we think of ourselves and how we feel towards one another. Just in New York the other day, I saw it all over Instagram. It's a young kid by the name of Junior. I just kept seeing hashtag justice for Junior. So if you keep seeing something and you really don't know what it's all about. Now, I'm from New York, but I'm working in Chicago right now. So my focus is not really on what's going on in New York. And I don't see a lot of the news of what's going on in New York. But I kept seeing this on my timeline, justice for Junior. And then my man Mano, rap artist Mano, put up something about it. And he said, I really wasn't going to talk about this. But then I saw the kid was only 15 years old and he was murdered. And that could have been my son. And it had me thinking about it. So I hit the hashtag on Instagram and saw all these videos pop up about what happened to this kid in the Bronx, New York. 15 years old, was mistakenly identified as someone who put someone's sister on videotape having sex and released it to the public. It wasn't even him. And a gang of five guys ran up into a bodega where grown men were in the bodega, snatched this kid out of the bodega and proceeded to machete him and stab him until he died. And he was left bleeding on the corner until he was dead. The kid was obviously set up because he came down allegedly to pay somebody some money. And these guys were waiting on him. And these guys ran all the way back to New Jersey where they were apprehended by the police. So a lot of these guys are going to jail now. But it really touched my heart because he's a 15-year-old kid. And no one had sense enough to say, well, if this did happen, let's confront him and have a conversation about it. Or if this is the kid, where's his parents? Let me talk to his mother, his father, his uncle, his brother about it. They just thought kill first. That's all they thought about was kill first. And that just leads me to say about how we treat each other. XXXTentacion, rapper, very popular. Not my cup of tea, not my generation. I can't even tell you the name of one of his songs. Well, I can now because it broke Spotify records after he died. It's a record called Sad. But he had a lot of young fans out there. 20 years old, make some mistakes. Made some mistakes, some serious mistakes. I made mistakes too when I was 20 years old. Maybe not to the severity of his mistakes, but I definitely made some mistakes, and I was definitely given the opportunity to grow as a human being and grow as a man. I often tell people that I am so happy that Your MTV Raps didn't happen for me until my mid-20s, because I don't think I would have known how to handle fame at 19, 20 years old. And obviously this kid had a little problem handling it himself. He had some really public feuds with a few rappers. I mean, he was punched in the face on the stage and tackled at one of his concerts, and he went back and forth with certain rappers, and then his girlfriend was pregnant, allegedly, with his child, accused him of locking her in an apartment for 2 days and beating her while she was pregnant and threatening her and choking her. And the kid openly admitted that he was depressed at times, and, you know, he came from an abusive background as a child. And, you know, mom wasn't really there for him, really doesn't know his dad. It's just foster care, and this, and it's just fucked up. But then he gets killed shopping for a motorcycle. And he's set up, and I believe as the more to put the police do an investigation, they'll find out that the people at the motorcycle place told the dude that shot him when he was coming and how long he's going to be there. He's sitting in his car, and he's shot and killed by another black man. And this is what I'm talking about. The way we treat us. I have lived through the murder of Notorious B.I.G. I have lived through the murder of Tupac Shakur. I have lived through the murder of Randy Stretch Walker, member of the Live Squad, one of Tupac's closest friends. I have lived through the murder of Jam Master Jay. I have lived through the shooting of 50 Cent. I have lived through the murder of my man E Moneybags. It's just, and it's us. Us. It's always us. This is what I'm talking about when the way we treat each other. See, the problem is, well, one of the problems is this. When you feed society a certain thing, they're going to react to it in a certain manner. One of the historical things that everyone knows has happened is whenever a dictator wanted to control a country, the first thing they did is got rid of the music and the arts. They control what you see. They control the media. They control what you hear. They control how you feel. Music has a really big impact on people. I don't think there's a single person listening to this podcast or otherwise that cannot say they can imagine a life without music. That they can imagine not hearing certain song that makes you feel a certain way or puts you in a certain mood. There's great music out there. There's music that makes you remember who you were in love with when the song came out, who you were dating when the song came out. There's music that reminds me personally of my dad. There's certain records that have come on. My dad died when I was 18 years old. Records that come on and take me to a place the way I start thinking about my dad, and I have to turn the song off. The music makes you feel something. That's why people are as popular as they are. It doesn't matter who it is. You ever sit around and watch the reaction of women if they with their best friend and Umbrella comes on by Rihanna? You ever look at the reaction of some of the older women when a Mary J. Blige record comes on, that My Life album, and how that My Life album touched their souls? This is why super fans will go and get a tattoo of their favorite artist, because the music that they put out touches them. I remember when Mobb Deep first dropped Shook Ones. Told the killers in the $100 bill is your eyes open. The real niggas who ain't got no feeling. That record puts you in a mood where if you had beef with somebody in the third grade and you saw them when that record was on, you would want to fight them. There's certain reasons. Annie Up gets you hyped up. Mosh Pit some rock and roll mosh pit music. Even Annie Up is a mosh pit record. You throw that record on, and people start jumping around. XXXTentacion music touched a lot of people. Left Eye is loved and remembered by TLC and Aaliyah because their music touched something in everybody. Even the way people like to throw R. Kelly under the bus. He has some of the greatest music ever, and it touches you in a certain manner. So you're touching people, and you're touching them emotionally in a certain way. So if we keep putting out violent music with no alternative music being put out, the majority of people who don't get the other music or not privy to the other music because radio refuses to play it, don't get to feel good about themselves at no time of the day because all they're getting is nigga this, nigga this, bitch that, sell this, sell that, drink this, drink that, smoke this, smoke that, smoke perp, this, that, all day long. It's just negativity and violence being fed to you all day long. And it's not your fault. It's designed that way. It's designed to get you angry. It's designed to make you hateful. It's designed to make you say, fuck women, fuck bitches, fuck niggas, because all you are to me is a nigga. I don't give a fuck about you as a human being or a black man. Fuck these other niggas, because I'm down for my niggas. See, murder, right? Fuck them other niggas, because I'm down for my niggas. Now, if you're not smart enough to process that, it's just entertainment. You drunk or high, something could go awry, and the next thing you know, the bullets start flying. I got to get mine. Fuck that. This little nigga. Who is this nigga? XXXTentacion. Fuck that nigga. That nigga got paper in that duffel bag, that Louis bag. We're going to get this nigga. But you don't feel the same way about him if you thought of him as your brother. You don't feel the same way about Junior from the Bronx. You're not going to stab Junior up and machete him up if you think about him as a 15-year-old kid or as your brother. This is the way we got to treat each other. We complain about the way the cops treat us, and then we treat each other horribly. Horribly. And I'm not putting nobody down because I understand what music is, and I understand that everybody has to have their own era. I totally get it. I don't expect any young person that may run across this podcast to love the artists that I love. You weren't even alive when these artists came out. But we had a balance in music. And I don't blame you because I think it's these radio stations that think that they know what you want, what you want to listen to, misappropriation of your culture, misappropriation of who you are as an African American in this country, and they just want to feed you fucking negativity. One person dying after another person dying after another person dying, and we not marching because it ain't at the hands of a white man. Right? We got 6ix9ine beefing with Chief Keef. We got grown-ass men like a lot of y'all, 20, 25, they don't even know who Kid Capri and Funkmaster Flex are. We got them two beefing at each other, calling each other names. These are grown-ass men. Grown men with kids in college and maybe grandfathers beefing with each other. Taking this shit to extreme levels of shit that we don't even expect us as OGs to be doing. It's crazy. Oh, I'll pull up. We lost Bankroll Fresh. Dollar. Same way. I'll pull up. I'll do this, I'll do that. And then the jealousy and the envy because of social media and the way we flash money and flash our luxuries set other people in motion that don't care about you in the first place because they look at you as nigga and not as brother. I am so glad that I had grown up. Because I was the same way. Fuck them niggas, yo. Go get that. What they say, 50 say, get the strap. Fuck them niggas. But it's funny that that's how we treat each other. But the people who are pressing us, that really don't give a fuck about us, we not even thinking in that direction. Ain't nobody saying, yo, fuck these fucking senators and congressmen and these niggas that's voting this crazy shit so that my parents can't get a house or I can't live right. I'm going to blast one of these niggas. No, you want to rob a fucking 20-year-old or 15-year-old of their life. You want to take sides and who's this person and who's that person and fight and argue and be disrespectful toward each other. So we can all go, ooh, did you hear what he said? Ooh, did you hear what he said? And buy into this negativity. It's just stupid. It's what we're doing to each other that concerns me the most. We're losing too many people. This kid was 20. Justice for Junior. He was 15 years old. Mistaken identity? Y'all stabbed this boy to death. Nobody has sense enough to say we shouldn't be doing this shit. Nobody has sense enough to say, okay, man, listen. At the most, let's go get this money, but don't hurt this kid. He's a kid. We got the drop on him. What is he really going to do? But no, the first thing is shoot this motherfucker. Fuck that nigga. It's about us. At some point, we have to stand up and look at ourselves in the mirror as human beings and say, we complain about the way they treat us, but look at the way we treat ourselves. And I don't even like to have this conversation because this is the conversation that white people will bring up. But I'm black, so I'm talking to my people and Latino people. Y'all know we all grew up in the same neighborhoods, under the same oppressive poverty, under the same shit. So I'm talking to y'all too because you are my people as well. Look at the fuck what we do to ourselves. Look at how we treat each other because every time we get up and we start talking about the abuse at the hands of a law enforcement officer, that's the first thing they can bring up. Well, look the way y'all do to each other. It ain't no different over here. Why should we be any different? Y'all fucking each other up. Why should it be any different with us? These are young people. Young. And it's getting worse. Getting worse. Somebody shot at Chief Keef in New York in front of the damn W Hotel. Like, what? I mean, when Chris Brown and Drake had their beef, they threw bottles. Nobody pulled out a gun. Now, this gunplay out of control. But it's been out of control. This has been out of control before a lot of y'all was born. It's been out of control. It's sad. Three tight friends of mine, three tight friends, good people, right after each other. Stretch, Randy Stretch, Walker 95, Tupac 1996, Biggie 1997, all shot and killed, all victims of gun violence, all shot by somebody that looked at them as a nigga and not as a human being, not as a son, not as a father. Biggie never saw what CJ amounted to. Stretch never saw what my goddaughter and Tupac's goddaughter, also Manisha, his daughter, amounted to. They were really, really young. Their kids were young. You don't think about it in that way. If I'm not even sure if XXX Tentacion's girlfriend is still pregnant with his child, but that kid is going to grow up without a father. Cycle continues. Ladies, you could do a great job. You can. God bless you if you're a single mother, if you had to raise your child on your own. You can do a great job. But there's a study that proves that if a father is not in the child's life, that child has less chance to get a college education. Is there something in them? I don't know what it is, but I don't think a woman should have to raise a child on her own because a dude got killed in the streets by another black dude over some money or some dumb shit. You're going to rock that money and you're going to blow it on bullshit. Then what you going to do? Like, it's just, we have to start treating ourselves better. We have to. And it's a big, like, if you look at a lot of this stuff is a big, gigantic circle where it's all connected, because a lot of these young men out here running wild because their fathers never bothered, or their fathers did so much dirt that they locked up and can't really be a father to them, or their father got caught up in the street and died, or their father died super early from some disease. Crazy. Happens all the freaking time. My cousin Vera, her husband died of a brain aneurysm. They got a child. Little son. He didn't even know his daddy. Now, it's enough stuff out there killing us as it is without us killing ourselves over some bullshit and the fact that we don't even respect ourselves, but we'll all come together and form like Voltron if somebody else does something to us. And we'll all turn a blind eye to the people that are organizing marches in the streets of our own neighborhoods, demanding an end to black on black or Latin on Latin crime or Hispanic on Hispanic crime. Meanwhile, we are so distracted about who's doing what and who got what thing. And it's always some slogan that comes up that distracts the shit out of us from thinking about the kind of things that we should be thinking about. Get to the bag. Go get the bag. Secure the bag. Get the bag. Get the bag. White people love them conservative politicians in Washington love to hear you talk about securing that bag. Got up in the morning, had to secure the bag. Nobody wants to talk about what's going on with us and the lawmakers and the laws that they pass and what Jeff Sessions is doing, separating families at the border. That's how it starts. Nobody will talk about what they're doing and repealing all the things that Obama gave to us, which wasn't even hardly enough, but that's a whole nother conversation. He made some mistakes, but we still love him. He's one of ours. And you know, when we looked at Obama, we couldn't even say the word nigga. But now that he's out of office, we running wild. Everybody want to be a fucking star, and nobody's taking care of home. Too many of our beautiful women ain't out here by themselves, and you alive, and you right there. I don't fuck with that bitch. Fuck her. But you ain't fucking with your kids. And then you wonder why shit happens like this in the streets. Big shout out to my man DJ Omaniah. He's on tour with A Boogie with the Hoodie. And the reason why I brought Omaniah up right now, his daughter's on her way to Harvard. They are Puerto Rican. He busts his ass even though he ain't not with his daughter's mother. He did what a man is supposed to do, raising his kid. He got one daughter going into high school, one going to Harvard right now. He married a woman with two kids. Now they became his children. And her fucking kid's father don't do shit. Jealous as a motherfucker. I was talking to some friends the other day. I mean, matter of fact, it was yesterday. And we was hanging out and we was talking about all of this stuff that's going on with men and what they're doing and what they're not supposed to be doing. And a lot of this stuff I call the pussification of the black man in America. And the pussification of the black man in America is due to the fact that, A, some of us men in my age category didn't step up and do what the fuck they were supposed to do, raising you right. Somebody showed me a meme yesterday that they put up and said, we grew up in the era of drug dealers, you growing up in the era of drug users. What do you think happens when you get high all the time? What do you think is going to happen to you when you drink and lean all the time? Oh, yeah, Ed, you old. You don't understand it. Motherfucker, y'all ain't... Listen, y'all ain't did nothing we ain't did before. We rapped about drug dealing. You rap about drug using. We shouldn't have rapped about drug dealing if we ain't want you to rap about drug using. But we're killing our own people. We're not treating each other with respect. It's to secure the bag at any cost now, even at the death of one of your own people. It's ridiculous to me. I really just don't get it. I don't understand it. Why we die enough? I don't understand why we can't be good to each other. Why we can't show some decorum? Yeah, we all know. We all know. There's going to be goons out there. We all know. Every generation is going to have their goons. We all know. But it seems like now we're all participating in it where it's meaningless. Like, you sit around and I'll be just sitting around waiting like, damn, it's going to happen. Somebody else is going to kill one of our rappers. It's going to happen. Social media is a motherfucker. Really is. It really, really is. Social media got everybody acting outside of themselves. Everybody. Everybody flexing for the gram. Flexing crazy. You don't even have to have the shit. You can stand next to it and flex for it. And everybody flexing and bricks some money to the ear and da-da-da-da-da. And I think that's probably part of the message that Jay was trying to send to youngins to stop flexing for the fucking gram so much. You got grown people that want you to know where they are at the time that they're on, at they're there. And these are people that I know that in my age bracket or maybe a few years younger than me that wants you to know that they're on vacation while they're on vacation. These are homeowners, ladies and gentlemen. You are telling me that you're somewhere right now while you're there. So in other words, if I do a little investigating and I know where you live, I can do a couple of roll bys your house and see that you're not home. And then when you come home, your shit is empty because you told me where you are. You told me where you're going. If I'm a crazy ass stalker dude and I'm looking at your pictures all the time, I know where you are because you just fucking told me. You don't have to tell everybody every move you make. Social media has got us gone completely crazy. And by doing that, by flexing, you're showing people everything that you have where people don't need to see everything that you have. I'm not talking like I'm not guilty. I've done it. You get a new pair of kicks, you want to put them shits up on the gram like, you. Look at this fly shit I just got. Do your show, young artist, you coming up. Get about 15, 20 racks. You want to put that shit right on the gram. Look at me. Look at me, I'm shopping at Gucci and Louis. Look at all this money. Look at all this cash I'm holding. Secure the bag. But what you're doing is setting yourself up for these wolves out here. What you're doing is showing people what you got, and you're showing people that sometimes maybe just came home from prison, that really don't give a fuck because they've been gone so long, and they really know that you're soft in the first place. So they're going to get you. And believe me, anybody can be got. You can pop off in your songs and believe that you Teflon, but when it's on, it's on. And ain't nobody going to help you. Nobody's going to help you. Because the first rule is self-preservation. I don't know how many people have ever been someplace where they started shooting. But your first rule is self-preservation. You're not the hero from the Dunkin' Donuts. You're not that dude. Or Waffle House, excuse me. He's the Waffle House. You're not that dude. That dude did that for self-preservation. He said it. He said, I was thinking about shit. He's not going to kill me in here. So he rushed the door and snatched the gun out of his hand. He wasn't like, oh my God, he's trying to hurt all these people. Let me save them. No, he thought self-preservation. This motherfucker is not killing me in this Waffle House. Let somebody start shooting. Are you going to roll over? Oh, there's a woman with a child that I don't know. Let me jump on top of her and save them. No, the first thing you're going to do is get your ass down on the ground or make a run for it to save your own life. The first thought is self-preservation. So let's not act like we all superheroes. Yeah, Suge was the baddest dude in the world. They started shooting that car. He didn't shoot back. And nobody in the cars that was following them took a shot. Nobody shot at the car that rolled up next to Biggie and shot in the door. Nobody shot back. And it was more than one truck. Nobody jumped out and took aim like you see in the movies and shot out the back window of the car. But damn it, he got away. You know why? Because when the bullets start flying, it's self-preservation. It's self-preservation. You could put yourself in a situation that you didn't even know that you was putting yourself in. Because we flexing for social media. So what you're doing is pretty much opening the door for the people out here to have bad intentions. That's pretty much what you're doing. But we have to do better. We have to do better by respecting ourselves. And I think self-respect has gone down into the toilet. Self-love and self-respect has gone down into the toilet. Like you act like that you love each other. You act like you got super respect for each other. But we really don't. My phone is ringing, y'all. You hear it? That's my wife. I'm going to have to call her back when I'm podcasting for y'all right now. But we play a good game and act like it. Social media got dudes and you on there. You holding guns. Dudes shooting at dudes while they live on Facebook. Murder happened live on Facebook. A dude shot his and killed his girlfriend on Facebook Live. Press that shit around. You seen this shit? This shit is crazy as hell. Tell me, what did you think was going to happen to you? We getting desensitized to killings and murders, almost like it's an everyday occurrence. But we sure will march when somebody else do something to us. When we do it to ourselves, damn, that's fucked up. That's what you hear. But, you know, then somebody that come with it. You know, I saw it after XXXTentacion was killed. Fuck that nigga. He wasn't da-da-da-da. That nigga beat his girlfriend up, so fuck that nigga. Blah-blah-blah-blah-blah. You know, it's a lot of sadness. People gonna troll and say foul shit. But he didn't even have a chance to grow and become a man. He wasn't even a man. He wasn't even legally old enough to drink. Although we know he did so. Legally, the kid, he couldn't even drink. Couldn't even drink. We don't even have those standards of love and respect for each other like we did before. Say it takes a nation of children. No, it takes a village to raise a child, right? That was then. Not anymore. Parents can't do nothing for you because you can call the authorities on them. They can't even beat your ass. They can't even whoop your ass. Because they get the authorities called on. Your parents will go to jail for disciplining their child. How are you supposed to make sure that your child walks a straight and narrow if you cannot discipline your own child? Teachers can't even discipline you anymore. Fuck you. Motherfuckers fighting the teachers. Wonder why teachers don't want to be teachers anymore. Who's going to educate these little wild ass motherfuckers if they could just knuckle up and punch you in your face and you can't do shit about it? How is that motivating you to want to get up and go to work every day and be an educator? Gangs of kids are bullying other kids, so now these kids think that I don't even want to go to school. I don't want to face this shit. So what does a kid do? Now I got to protect myself. So they go get a gun. And then we wonder why they fucked up, because the teachers don't have control. One of my boys here in Chicago, my man OT, is a principal. He told me, we can't even throw him out to school. We can't do nothing with him. We can put him in a classroom, but if they want to get up and walk out the classroom, there's nothing we can do about it. I was a school safety officer in New York City, pretty much a school cop, but without the gun. You start off, took the test, I passed the test. We go to academy. We got to learn procedure, all that stuff. You come out and you have this silver badge on what amounted to a security guard suit. Polyester pants, white shirt, blues, winter jacket, but it was a silver shield or badge. After you're there for a certain amount of time, you become what they call a peace officer, and you get the gold badge. This is before you're on TV Raps. You're on TV Raps came on in 89, so if I had to guess, I got you on TV Raps while I was a school safety officer, so I would say 86 to 89. I was a school safety officer, maybe even 87, 89, but I can't tell you how many years I was there. I don't remember. But once you became a police officer, a peace officer, excuse me, not a police, a peace officer with the gold shield, then you have the power to make arrests within the school and on the school grounds. So what we used to do, and it was about 14 of us, maybe more, in the school, including the vice principals and the deans, and the deans of students. What we used to do is, when we got a rowdy child, throw your ass out the school. Go home. Don't come back up here until you bring your parents. Sometimes, when I knew that it was a scary situation for a student, and I know who the kids are. You know who the kids are. You work in the school long enough. If I knew it was a scary situation for a kid, and somebody told me this kid had a gun on him, and I knew the kid, and I knew he was a good kid, me and a couple of the more of the gentlemen that I work with, because I was very young, too. Like, I'm 22, 23, working in the school. All right? So I would, with some of the bigger guys, one of them happened to be MC Light's bodyguard, Big Gene, God rest his soul, my man Eric, my man Willie Sessoms, we would corner the kid. Let me see your book bag. Well, all right, up your book bag, partner. Take his book bag, look in the book bag. You got a gun. Okay, now I'm a peace officer. So that means any one of us could make an arrest. We have to call the police. The police will come. We have to cuff him. We had handcuffs. We have to go with him to the precinct, sit in the squad car in the back with him while they transport him to the police precinct, take him through fingerprinting, lock him up, and write the report up ourselves. But if we knew that this was a good kid that was just scared because whatever kind of beef was going on that we had heard rumbling throughout the school, we take the gun from him and file an incident report, meaning we found the weapon somewhere in the school. Maybe some other kids say, hey, I think I saw a gun up on top of the whatever downstairs by the gym, and we will file it as an incident report. That's how we will file it. Now, a lot of schools don't like to file incident reports because they file incident reports and the school looks like it's a horrible school and they won't get the money from the city that they need to continue for all the good kids. But we never did that. Well, I never did it. I don't know what all the rest of security did. I don't know. But I would take the gun off a kid that I knew was a good kid and file an incident report and say, because I didn't want this kid to go to jail. And I didn't want this kid's life to get fucked up and maybe have to do a mandatory year in a state prison when I knew this was a good kid. Now, if I knew that you were an asshole and you was always in the school giving me a hard time and you weren't even supposed to be there, you didn't even go to the school, you considered yourself a thug, you was on the block selling, I'd lock your motherfucking monkey ass up and didn't think twice about it. But the good kids, the ones that were really just scared and was trying to get an education and got caught up in some dumb beef, I give them a shot. Sometimes it's the thugs and I know them, they're from around the way, I give them a shot too. I mean, get out. Go ahead, take that shit home, get out. And we put them out. Now you can't even put them out. And sometimes we chain the doors locked. Can't do that. You can't do anything. So how is a parent supposed to discipline a child? How's a school that has your child for the majority of the day supposed to discipline your child? Why do you think if they're not disciplined that they can end up, not all the time, but some of the times they can end up in the arms of the law because they don't know where the line is. They don't know where the line in society is that you don't do this. This is where, if you do this, there's consequences and repercussions. So we're not even thinking about that. We thinking about this other shit. Grown-ass women that got kids ass clapping on the ground. Now all of a sudden these see-through dresses, 45-year-old women, because you got a nice body, but you got two sons that's in college and their classmates are looking at your mother's body, but you wore that because it's your birthday. But you got college kids. I'm not saying any names. I saw this today. A friend of mine from New York. Basically, G-string and bra underneath this dress. She got college kids. What are you thinking about your mother when you're looking at that? What do you think? What are you doing? What are you doing? You're enticing people to look at you as a sexual object, and you're not going to get any respect from your kids like that. You're keeping it too real. That's not for everybody to see. That's not for the gram. We have a lack of respect from each other that stems from a lot of problems that are within our own communities. Oh, they hating. Oh, people are hating, and they hating. Nobody can hate on you if they don't know shit about you. To all my haters, somebody made a record, right? If you ain't getting hated on, you ain't popping. You could enjoy your social media life, but we doing too fucking much on there, and we doing too much around each other that is causing us to have a lack of respect for each other. And our kids don't respect us when we do shit like that. They don't know. And the good parents out there handcuffed because they can't even discipline their own kids. Oh, you could discipline them. Don't let them go out the house. All right, so if they go out the house after you tell them not to, then what? If you tell them you're not going out, you can't go to the dance, and they go to the dance anyway, then what? Well, you just keep talking, and they're just going to keep doing what they want to do, and you can't put them out because they're not of age. You get in trouble for that too. So how are we supposed to discipline our kids if the kids don't want to listen? And I'm not saying it's all kids, because, of course, there's some great kids. A lot of us have great kids that we don't have those problems with. My kids know I fuck them up. Well, I don't have to anymore. Most of them are grown. My youngest is 19, and she's in college, and my son is great, and the rest of the girls are great. They knew, but they knew when they were small. Daddy will fuck me up. They knew that. I'm in Chicago now, and they spread out all over the place, and they know to this day. If I have to come because of some disrespectful shit with your moms or something, I'm going to fuck you up. And I don't care. And when I go to jail and I come back, I'm fucking you up again. It's got to be consequences. These are the things that we're dealing with. If you don't respect yourself, you don't respect, first of all, you got to respect your parents. If you don't respect your parents, you're not going to really respect anybody else around you. You really don't know the dynamics of a good relationship. Your shit is fucked up because they letting you get away with too much shit. So then when somebody else approach you on some disciplinarian type of thing or just a matter of straight being respectful, you don't even understand what respect of another human being means. And then compound that with all this, nigga that, bitch this, bitch that music with no other side. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that's bad. But what I'm saying is there's no other side. There's no feel good. It's not being programmed. The feel good music about love and respect, and there are a lot of great artists out there that are making it. That music is not being played. It's all y'all bitches is good for is suck my dick and give me some pussy. I'm cooking up this shit. I got more money than the rest of y'all, so fuck y'all niggas. And if y'all niggas come, I got the Draco, I got the fucking AK-47, I got the mini submachine guns, I got a rocket launcher, and I will fucking take your whole shit out. So now, when you're being seen in the street, motherfuckers is ready to go. They on go, because they think, yeah, he said he be doing this, that, and the third. Now, I know I'll be doing it, but let me see exactly what this cat is made of. I'm ready to go. I'm on go. So you talking. I'm on go. I bust my guns for real. Then there's another memorial service we having because we don't love each other enough and respect each other enough. And sometimes not intelligent enough to know that that's just entertainment. It's just music. No C4 to your door, no beef no more, nigga. Feel the rough, scandalous. The more weed smoke I puff, the more dangerous. That was music. That was just for your entertainment only. Biggie was not putting C4 on the door of his place. I've been to his house many times when he lived in Jersey. The last place he actually was living before he was killed. Because the young lady that I was dating that used to be at her house all the time lived in the same complex. He wasn't doing, that was entertainment. It's just entertainment. I really don't think Migos is cooking up coke with an Uzi. It's entertainment. That's all it is. But a lot of people are not that educated. They don't take it seriously. I mean, they don't take it as entertainment. They take it too seriously. And some of the results are jealousy and hatred. You're getting all this money. I got to secure the bag because that's what they say on the gram. Got to secure the bag. I don't fuck who I hurt to do so. Sometimes you're leaving kids without a father. You're leaving mothers are burying their sons before they should. Fathers have got to go and view the body of his kid. Justice for Junior in the Bronx. Just for XXX Tentacion. These boys are too young. These are the two newest ones that I'm thinking of right now. I'm quite sure by the time this come out, there'll be somebody else that's not making it to 40. That will never see what they could have been. Can we do it better? Can we take care of each other better? Can we honor God in that and the manner in which we should? And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, but let your ass get shot. I bet you start calling on God then. We got to do better, y'all. We have to start being better towards each other. And 9 times out of 10, when you see somebody else and it's either, you know, for my men out there, it's either a bump by mistake or a push or they coming up, try to replace the word nigga with brother and you'll feel absolutely different about the way you treat him. Or look at that person as maybe one of your kids. Because 15 for Junior in the Bronx, way too young to get stabbed to death for a mistaken identity. And even what he didn't do, what he was accused of doing, but even if he did, somebody should have been smart enough to say, let's figure another way out to let's quell some of this anger and go talk to a parent or something. 20 is too young for XXX Tentacion to be dead. May they both rest in eternal peace. God got them now. But how many more Tupacs and Biggies and Jam Master J's and Randy Stretch Walker and Bankroll Freshers and Triple X? I'm quite sure I'm leaving a lot of people out. I don't mean to. I'm just talking, and I didn't write any of this stuff down. It's just on my heart, and I'm talking about it. How many more of these people are we going to lose at the hands of us? Right? I mean, I'm down with the protests when somebody else do it to us, but we got to start protesting it when we do it to ourselves, too. This shit is not good. It's not good for the culture. It's not good for the music. We're not living long enough. I'm in Chicago right now. I'm looking right out on a canal that's connected to the lake. And I'm watching very successful people on their yachts going down the canal. I want to see a lot more of my people doing that. But if we keep killing each other and disrespecting each other, it's not going to happen. You can live well, but we got to be respectful towards our women. Women, you have to respect yourselves too. Stop putting on a whore uniform if you don't want to be thought of as a whore. My men, we got to respect our women. We got to respect each other. We got to stop killing each other. Seriously, rest in peace to Combat Jack, as always. And if you lost a loved one, rest in peace to that person. I've lost too many. Lost way too many. Shit is an epidemic, and it's an epidemic that of great proportion that we're doing to ourselves. We're doing it to ourselves. My name is Ed Lover. This is Come On, Son, the podcast, and I approve this message. Now get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. Until next week, y'all, be well. This Ed Lover podcast is being done in conjunction with Cigars International. Make sure you check out CigarsInternational.com for all your cigar needs.
This episode of Come On, Son, the podcast, is produced and engineered by co-executive producers Kimana Paulus and Krista Hayes. Recorded at Mean Street Studios in downtown Atlanta, Georgia, this is an official Loudspeakers Network podcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/across America.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.